Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now to talk some Ravens football is my guy, Childs Walker. He covers the team for the Baltimore Sun. Good morning, Childs.
Hey, good morning, Cordell. How you guys doing? Good.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Appreciate your time as always. And of course, one of the big talking points this week around this Ravens team is the struggles of Justin Tucker. And it's been going on really, you could go back to last year, really, to a degree where you could see some blemishes on Justin Tucker's production on the field. And this week, coming off the two misses in Pittsburgh, of course, all eyes will be on that. John was asked about potentially bringing in other kickers this week, and he kind of turned that down. What do you do about Justin Tucker right now if you're the Ravens?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot that they can do other than ride with him for the rest of the season and hope that he figures it out, trust him to figure it out. If we were talking about a kicker without his track record, maybe that's a different conversation. But he has earned a lot more latitude than basically anybody else at that position. And the bottom line is that they don't, it's not like they have a candidate who's just sort of there on the side that they can turn to, right? I mean, they didn't have a kicker in camp this summer that they were serious about. I mean, you know, there's not an obvious reach. So, I mean, I think you have to stick with the guy you have. You know how good he is. It's not like his leg doesn't have any juice in it. I mean, he's, you know, the distance hasn't been a problem. He's doing it in practice. He's doing it in warmups. There's some sort of glitch right now that he's trying to work his way through. And we've seen this with a lot of the great kickers who have really long careers in the NFL, you know, those 17, 18, 20-year careers, you know, the Morton Andersons, the Matt Stovers. They do have bad years in there. I mean, or even a series of bad years. I mean, Stover was at 75% his first 3 years in Baltimore, and they find ways to work through it. So I think for now, you have to say this guy still has the talent. He has the dedication, the attention to detail. We think he'll find a way through it, even though it looks bad right now.
Childs, two guys that I was extremely disappointed in defensively, you know, and I thought the defense played well, but Trenton Simpson was awful, and Brandon Stevens, to me, was awful. You know, what did you think about those two guys' performance?
Yeah, I'll start with Brandon Stevens because that's been a developing story, really, for most of the season. With him just, I mean, we say it again and again, right? He gets himself in position, and then he doesn't make a play on the ball.
That's for 4 years. That's 4 years worth.
Yeah. No, that's right. But Vinny, he did show. I thought he did show real progress last year. I mean, I thought he did.
Last year, I agree with you. Last year, he played much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and then Denard Wilson left.
This is true. But that was the year that had you thinking, okay, this guy really might be a starting cornerback for, you know, 5-6 years in the NFL, but it has been steady regression this year. And you saw the difference immediately with Tre'Davious White in the game, right? I mean, for all the struggles that Tre'Davious White has had staying on the field in recent years, I mean, his PFF grade wasn't very good in the snaps he did play this year, but you see him out there and all of a sudden, I mean, not only is he step for step with Pickens, you know, he makes plays on the ball in the end zone. And those were big plays. So, I mean, I think that we're going to see Tre'Davious White taking snaps from Brandon Stevens for that reason. I mean, the Ravens are still in the mode where they have to look for any fix they can find with that secondary because, you know, despite what happened last week, it's been a problem all year. And that's sort of an obvious one where you did bring in a guy who, you know, looked good in his first snaps for the team. I would be surprised if he's not taking snaps from Brandon Stevens this week and for weeks going forward. Trenton Simpson, I agree, he didn't play particularly well in that game. And, you know, you have to be nervous going into this game because obviously you don't know if Roquan's going to be able to play because he's dealing with a hamstring injury. And you have a team that's much more equipped to attack the middle of the field than Pittsburgh was. I mean, Russell Wilson doesn't like to throw to the middle of the field. Justin Herbert is quite willing to do so, and he has a pair of guys who are really good at that in his tight end, Disley, and the rookie receiver, Ladd McConkey. I mean, the Ravens have been soft in the middle all year. That could be a big problem on Monday night. I've liked what Trenton Simpson has done overall this year. I mean, I think he's, you know, we know what a good athlete he is. He's been a pretty solid run defender, I think, overall. And I even think he's not been terrible in coverage. I mean, they haven't put that burden on him consistently, but he's, I would say maybe in the big picture, been a little better at that than I thought he would be. So I'm not worried about him overall, but I'd be worried about him a little bit on Monday night.
We're talking to Chiles Walker, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Chiles, sticking with that linebacker group, Roquan Smith, he wasn't out there yesterday. We know he got nicked up in the game on Sunday, dealing with a hamstring now. His chances to play on Sunday seem to be dwindling. We'll see what his practice status is as the week goes on. But if he's not out there, how does this defense look? Will they be able to look as good as they did on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a big question because, I mean, I thought, you know, it was unclear when he started dealing with the hamstring injury against the Steelers, if it was something that maybe started even before the game and maybe got exacerbated during the game. It was hard to tell. It wasn't like there was one play where it was obvious that he kind of pulled up. And look, we'll see if he's out there the next couple of days. That's an open question. But I thought he played really well against the Steelers.
It
is a big deal if he's not out there. I mean, look, he has not played as well this year as he did last year. He's been much less consistent in coverage, especially. But he is vital to their run defense. He's vital to their organization as a defense. And he still has a lot more good coverage reps under his belt than a Trenton Simpson or a Malik Harrison, who I think probably ideally it isn't really mobile enough to be out there playing in space. So if Roquan's not there, it's a big deal, both in terms of what they can do physically and in terms of just sort of the overall organization of the defense. And it will be interesting to see how they respond to that if he can't go. You know, do we essentially see them put another safety on the field as a second linebacker and just say, okay, you know, maybe we'll be a little bit softer on the run, but hey, we're happy if the Chargers run the ball. You know, we don't want them, you know, gunning downfield. You know, do you go that way? Or do you ride with Harrison and hope for the best because he is fairly sturdy against the run? I don't know, but it's a big deal.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be a combination of what you just said, because Harrison's good between the tackles, period. You know, and in coverage, if he's got to turn and go back, that's not his thing. So I can see Hamilton being up there and almost being like that guy, especially, you know, covering Disley and then putting another safety back there, whether it be Marcus Williams or whoever they feel, you know, should be back there. But I can see that. And I don't think, you know, their offensive line, the Chargers, is much better pass blockers than they are run blockers. Their biggest run threat's a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, actually, because obviously you expect that when Greg Roman goes and becomes the offensive coordinator of a team, that team's immediately going to become one of the most efficient running teams in the league. That actually hasn't really happened with the Chargers this year. I mean, they've actually been they're more efficient throwing the ball than they are running the ball. I mean, they're not bad. I mean, you know, we know what Dobbins can do. His numbers are okay, and they're gonna do it. I mean, they're gonna keep you honest, but I mean, this is not a devastating running team. So if you're the Ravens, I think you're happy if they're running the ball more than they're throwing it. But as to the Hamilton issue, I mean, I think that's also an interesting conundrum if Roquan can't go, because obviously, what we saw work last week was Hamilton was playing back more, right? Yep. And he and our areas were on the back line more, and that seemed to work with, you know, work for the Ravens. And, you know, Harbaugh indicated that that's going to be more of the plan going forward. But if you have to move Hamilton up to make up for Roquan's absence, are you kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul? I mean, there is sort of a chain reaction issue that they're going to have to work out if Roquan isn't available.
Childs, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'll see you out at the castle.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney at 11:30, we have Vinny's film room. We'll look at that Chargers offense. Probably looks pretty usual, considering we know what that offense normally looks like under Greg Roman. Now, we just talked about it a little bit with Childs. They are throwing it down the field a little more. So changing up a little bit is that Greg Roman offense. But we'll see what the Chargers are doing offensively at 11:30. But coming up next here, we'll get to the whip around, see what's going on in the world of sports. Cy Youngs were given out. Where did the pitcher, I don't know why I just drew a blank on Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns, where did Corbin Burns slot in the AL Cy Young race? We'll talk about it next here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm the fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Coming up next at 11:30, we'll get to Vinny's film room. We'll look at the offensive side of the ball for the L.A. Chargers. See what they plan to do against this Ravens defense. Right now, it's the whip around, looking around the world of sports. Let's get started in Major League Baseball. Cy Young Awards were handed out last night in the National League. Chris Sale from the Atlanta Braves, he won the NL Cy Young. And for the American League, you had Tarek Skubal for the Detroit Tigers come in first place. Got all 30 first place votes. In second place was Seth Lugo from Kansas City. Third place was Emmanuel Clase from Cleveland. Fourth place was Cole Ragans from Kansas City. Fifth place, Corbin Burns from Baltimore.
Hey, where did Skeens end up in the NL?
Skeens came in third.
Okay. Pretty good for a rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Who was second in the National?
Zach Wheeler.
Okay.
Yeah, no first place votes for Paul Skeens. He did get one second place votes, 13 third place votes for Corbin Burns. He didn't get any, like I said, Skubal got all 30 of the first place votes.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, he was dominant. The Orioles got a kind of dodged a bullet with that, but he was dominant in the postseason.
Yeah.
But the Orioles also got to see Seth Lugo, who came in second, and Cole Ragans, who came in fourth. I mean, and they were lights out in that wild card round. And Corbin Burns, to his own credit, was dominant in his outing in the wild card as well. I think the month of August did Burns in that because going into that month, I think Corbin Burns was a top two, no worse than top three candidate for the Cy Young in the American League. And that month of August was bad. He was able to rebound in September. And I think just looking at it locally, when you look at how decimated the starting rotation was this year for the Orioles and really how big Corbin Burns was for them, you probably expected him to be a little higher. I don't have a problem with Skubal winning. Clase, flat out dominant this year, but he's a reliever. I don't know. Nolan, you have any problem with where Burns is?
Well, it almost feels like a sick joke that the two guys that shut you down in the playoffs end up getting ahead of him. Not to say they're not deserving. They both had fantastic seasons. But I don't know. I kind of thought that he would finish no worse than third.
Yeah.
Talking about Corbin Burns, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see fifth. Like, fifth? All right. But yeah, it is what it is. And then obviously the other day, Colton Kowser, he wasn't able to get the AL Rookie of the Year either. So not much hardware so far for the Orioles. In the NBA, Luka Doncic. News came out not too long ago that he'll be out at least a week. He has a wrist strain, so he'll be missing some time for the Mavericks. Looks like they'll reevaluate him in a week. A couple of the games that the Mavericks have coming up here is against Denver, Miami, Atlanta, New York. So some key games looks like that Luka Doncic will be missing, and that just means Kyrie Irving will go for 30-plus in all of those games. Other injury news in the NBA, Paul George. He gets injured, injures his knee. Sixers, they just continue to lose. They lost their last game to the Memphis Grizzlies, 117-111. Terrible start to the season for the Sixers, who have all sorts of things going on for them. Off the court drama, looks like players, Tyrese Maxey calling out Joel Embiid in their team meeting that was supposed to be kept in-house somehow is gotten outside. And now Paul George, their key offseason acquisition, is now hurt. Not really a shocker there. That's kind of Paul George's MO, as good of a player as he is, but definitely a bad start to the year for the Philadelphia 76ers right now. And also, not sure if anybody really cares about this. I barely care, but it's just been popping up all over the place. LeBron James taking a hiatus from social media. I mean, whatever.
I'll tell you what, probably the biggest injury news in this area was Ovi.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean, because
went on IR last
but
night.
IR is three games, but he's going to be week to week with his knee, and it was, you know, kind of an accidental thing. But I mean, he was playing, he was scoring at a pace better than any of his 18-year career, and he's only 29 back of Gretzky right now. So I mean, that was, and the Caps play tonight, and they're in second place. So I mean, it's kind of a bummer, you know, for the Cap, because he was playing. I mean, this is the best I've seen. Last year, he sucked at this time of the year.
I mean, how big of a blow is this going to be to the Caps' momentum, who have been one of the surprises in hockey this year?
I mean, Cordell, he had, what, 5 goals in his last 5 periods. So, the ability to put the biscuit in the basket, he can do it. And Strome is one of the, his centerman is one of the leading assist guys. I mean, and being a centerman, and having a winger that puts a puck in the net as often as he does, I mean, that's a centerman's dream. And that's why Strome has so much. And then their power play, you know, their power play is back to being good again because Ovi, you know, is scoring goals. So, yeah, that definitely hurts the Caps. And they play tonight again against Colorado at home.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the first of Vinny's two film breakdowns. We'll check in on that Chargers offense, see what they're looking like. They've got a couple of familiar faces on the field and on the sideline. Do we recognize that offense? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's film room on 105.7 The Fan. The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Total Request Thursday. Send in your favorite songs to the text line. Quick Draw will handle them from there. Also send in your votes for Featured Artist Friday. We'll announce that winner at the back end of the show. We're looking at the film, checking out the Chargers right now. Let's look in on that offense.
Yeah, offensively, you would think a G-row offense, you know, would be 2 and 3 tight ends, a lot of fullback and all those types of things, a lot of running the football. Against the Bengals, that was not the case. That was not the case. They had 2 and 3 tight ends some. One of their tight ends, 42, he looks like Ricard. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks like a fullback. But their key guys, like Quentin Johnson's had a better year this year. He is not a good route runner. He has a hard time getting in and out of cuts. They'll use him down the field and then on longer stuff, deep crosses, those types of things. And none of their receivers Let me see. Where's my stuff here? None of their receivers are big yak guys. You know, McConkie's getting better at it. But Joshua Palmer's number five for them. Decent route runner. Mm-hmm. Decent route runner. Now, McConkie's kind of getting better into the flow of it. He's going to be in the slot a lot. And he's got some quickness in and out of breaks. I anticipate Marlon getting physical with him and covering him up. That's kind of what I see, Cordell. You know, just because the physicality would be tough for McConkie, I believe. And then the other big receiver for them is the tight end, Will Dissly. Mm-hmm. Like him down the middle of the field, Cordell. Mm-hmm. You know, down the middle of the field, just like the Steelers hit number 80 a mm-hmm. few times down the middle. That's the Chargers, they hit that against the Bengals. I think two or three times they hit Dissly down the middle of the field. So that's coming.
You talk about the receiver struggling with yak. Will Dissly leads them in yak on for their team.
Yeah, Disley's he's a pretty nice player, really. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, Disley's got 218 yak yards. McConkie's got 209. And Joshua Palmer, 72, and Quentin Johnson, 162. So McConkie has 43 catches, Disley, 37. So those are the two main guys. But their average per catch, McConkie's 14.3, Palmer's 18.3. Johnson 16-1, Disley's 9-5. They want to push it down the field. They want to push it down the field. Now, play action pass, they'll do it. It seems like they're saying, we'll just send out three receivers, but we're going to block it up for our quarterback. And I think that their offensive line, I mean, when you look at their offensive line, Rashawn Slater, 2021 first-round pick. He's very good. Mm-hmm. Very good pass blocker. The left guard, Zion Johnson, 2022, first-round pick. Center, Bradley Bozeman. Trey Pipkins, 19, third-round pick. And then Joe Alt, the right tackle.
First-round pick
this year. So they've got a lot of high picks mm-hmm. in that offensive line. And let me just say this. I think they're good pass blocking. I think the two weakest guys in their O-line pass blocking, Bozeman and Pipkins. The right guard. I think, if it's Matabike or Travis Jones, I think they got a chance. Hopefully Travis, what's his ankle look like, Cordell?
I mean, we'll see today. They didn't do a lot on the field yesterday, so yeah. Today will kind of be more of a telltale sign.
Now, their run blocking is suspect. I the O-line, I don't think they really knock people up. They're much better pass blockers than they are run blockers. They don't, like I said, they don't knock people off the ball and comboing up. But pass blocking, I think they do a very nice job. And it might be because they do throw the ball a lot. Now, I mean, when is a G-Ro offense? Rushing attempts, they're 15th in the league. When G-Ro was here, they were always number one or two. They've got 219 rushing attempts. Pass attempts, they got 279. So they're almost 50-50. So that's kind of different than G-Ro in the past.
I mean, could that be because, obviously, we know when G-Ro first came to Baltimore, Lamar was at the early stages of his professional development, and whereas now he's getting a Justin Herbert who is
more of a passer
at this stage.
And they're letting their players do what they do well, which to me is good coaching. But the thing about it is in this game against the Bengals – let's talk about Dobbins and Gus Bus. Gus Bus started, and in the first half, Gus Bus, he had 5 carries, 26 yards, long of 9. He doesn't have, the burst and explosiveness mm-hmm. anymore. And Dobbins, in the first half, he had 5 carries for 9 yards, average 1.8. And even in the second half, he ended, Dobbins ended the game with 11 for 56. 34 was on that last play where he went down. And then there was another one. They had him stop for nothing, and then he popped it out mm-hmm. to the right and got, 12 yards or something. But in reality, they didn't. The guy who hurt them was Herbert. Mm-hmm. Herbert hurt him big time. I mean, in the first half, he killed him. You know, I mean, the score at the half was 24-6 Chargers. And Herbert had four carries for 58 yards. I mean, and what he would do, he'd drop back and the Red Sea would open and he'd just take off and run. And he was getting chunk. His longest was 28.
He's clearly healthy now. You think back to the first half of the season where it was times you check him out going to the sideline. I mean, he's hurting now. You can see, especially watching that game on Sunday night, when he took off the run, he looked fast.
Yeah, I mean, Herbert in the first half, he was 10 out of 14 for 183. A lot of play action. There was a busted coverage on one. But Cordell, in the second half, he was 14, 24, 30. 7 of 22. And to me, a lot of that was the coverage was much better. They had tighter coverage. You know, Hendrickson got some pressure and stuff, but they do a good job protecting. He just, the tight windows, he was a little off. He was a little off, and that's what the Ravens got to be able to do. But the running is what killed him in that first half. And in the second half, wasn't good. But overall offensively, I think it's kind of a team. The receiving group reminds me a little bit of Buffalo. You know, whereas who really scares you kind of thing. And McConkey's getting better.
He's crafty.
He kind of reminds me like an Edelman. Mm-hmm. I mean, that type of guy is what he reminds you of. Quentin Johnson, they're going to throw it deep to him and see because, you know, like Pittsburgh does with Pickens, that's what they're going to do with him. But, I mean, if he's running deep comebacks or out, I mean, as a receiver and coach, you know, like, sharp breaks create separations, and you want to get your pads over your toes when you're running routes so you can get in and out of breaks. He runs high, before he can get out, and then a corner can see that, and it's easy to break on all that stuff. So, Cordell, I think they can cover up. And Disley's not as good as Gesicki or any of the tight ends that they've faced in the past. He's not as sudden or as quick in and out of breaks.
The ball finds him, though. I remember watching, I think it was against, I don't know why I want to say Seattle earlier this year, where he had probably his best game of the year. And like you said, he's not the most athletic like Gesicki. No. He's not going to run away from you, but he knows where to go, and the ball just seems to find him.
Yeah, and that's what McConkey is in zone, too. Mm-hmm. You know, McConkey and Disley are really smart guys. So, Cordell, I mean, receiver, I think the Ravens can match up there and do a pretty good job if they're playing some man coverage. And I think Hamilton could cover Disley. Or, you know, if you're putting Stevens on the inside and putting him on Disley, I mean, he'll eat up Disley. You know, Disley may catch it, you know, if it's a contested-type catch. But I just don't know if they can really run it on the Ravens. The Ravens got to have a plan for Herbert running. They've got to have a plan for Herbert running because he's good. He has the best ability of their running people to run explosive plays. Much better than Dobbins or Gus Bus. So, run game-wise, I mean, Cordell, they could make it, if the defense plays pretty good, they can make it tough on them. You know, like I said, with tight coverage and stuff, they didn't get open, and he was 7 of 22. What they wanted to do in the first half, I mean, they were going play action pass and max protecting. And then they were getting their shots down the field. And a lot of busted coverages with the Bengals early on. But the Bengals, they did a hell of a job adjusting at the half. You know, because they gave up a touchdown in the last minute of the game.
I mean, let's be real. They probably went into halftime thinking that they're playing for their season in that second half Sunday night and probably tried to empty the tank going into the bye week.
The Bengals?
The Bengals, yeah. I mean,
they just played Bengal football. They just did a better job of getting open.
Well, offensively, yes. I mean, defensively? Defensively, they had to empty the tank.
Yeah, they just did a better job covering is what they did.
The Will Disley game I was thinking of was against Arizona. 8 catches on 11 targets, 81 yards. That's been his best game. of the season so far. Only one touchdown on the year for Will Disley, but we know the middle of the field has been a problem for the Ravens.
The Chargers offense, they're ranked 18th. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not like the thing they haven't done, Cordell, is they don't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Herbert's 13 touchdowns, one pick. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if they start turning it over, then, you know, things could get ugly. But offensively, one of the big keys going to be the secondary is going to be the big keys, you know, especially if you're going to play some man coverage. Like, because, like I said before, it kind of reminds me of Buffalo when none of those receivers really scared you. And Dalvin Cook's a better running back than anything the Chargers have. And Josh Allen runs and Herbert runs. So it's almost similar, excuse me, to the Buffalo offense.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw, see what you guys are talking about on the text line. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draw's Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Handful of texts here on Justin Tucker. We'll start with this one, who says, my Tucker feeling is more worried than panic. Reason it's not at a panic yet is because the ball isn't all over the place. It's not like we have no idea where it's going when it leaves his foot, consistently missing left. For me, it's a worry that it's going to happen in a big moment. If he starts missing wide right and short, then it's panic time.
Well, I mean, last week it cost him the game. I mean, he's costing games right now. Is it panic time? Well, I think it's worry. Yeah, it's worry time. I mean, Cordell, when he's kicking a 47-yarder, do you think he's making it? I mean, it's kind of before it was like, yeah, that's going to be good. Now it's, what do you feel like? When they were lining up to kick the 47-yarder.
I still feel like when they line up more times than not, he's going to make it. But it's not the usual confidence that I have in that.
All right, how about when he missed a 47-yarder, then they go right back the next series, and then he's kicking a 50-yarder. What was your confidence?
I mean, I'm looking for it. Now I'm almost expecting a miss at that point.
And then with the 54-yarder, how shocked were you that he made it?
That one is like he's got to make it because already going 0-2, all right, that's one. But now 0-3 and it's getting progressively worse. Obviously, that was the toughest field goal of the day. But I feel like him making that one actually brought my worry meter down maybe a notch.
Yeah, and the thing about it was in that situation, if they would have got 5 yards on third down instead of none,
mm-hmm.
and instead of being 4th and 10, if it was 4th and 5.
Think they go for it?
That's what I was thinking. I just think Harbs was stuck. Had nowhere, because you're not going to punt it.
I think they have to, obviously they can, you know, go about it however aggressively as they want to. But I do think they would have to be careful about something like that. Because that would be a direct sign of their trust in him kind of being wavered a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think you got to be careful of that because then that's another thing that probably negatively impacts his psyche.
Yeah, but the only thing is I'm not worried about his psyche. I'm worried about winning the
For
game,
sure.
You know.
But you need his psyche to be in check to make sure that happens.
I mean, it's
a double-edged sword for sure.
I agree.
More on Tucker here. This texter says, there's nothing about Tucker's operation this year that leads me to believe he's going to get it fixed. At best, he'll go a few weeks without a mistake. Then the next stretch of misses is looming right around the corner. My question for Harbaugh and the Ravens would be, when is enough enough? How many more kicks does he have to miss before you actually do something?
I mean,
well, he's got a lot of credibility built up. That's the thing. And there's nobody out there that you can go get. And I think kind of what Harbs was saying when he was asked about, you know, now's not the time to do that. After the season is when you do stuff like that.
I think they'll definitely have another kicker
in
a camp this year, without a question. But as of right now, I mean, we're in November. It's about to be Thanksgiving. I don't want to downplay how bad it is. It's getting worse. It is kind of getting worse. And when it happens in a Pittsburgh game, definitely rings the alarm a little bit. I just think you gotta treat this with kid gloves a little bit because it is uncharted territory. And the reality is they still need Justin Tucker.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, because they're going to be in field goal games.
And one more for now. Texter here says, no Roquan Smith would be a huge concern for me if he doesn't play on Monday night. Trenton Simpson, just not that guy yet. And any extra snaps for Malik Harrison is a detriment to the entire defense.
I agree with the last part. I don't feel comfortable at all when Malik Harrison is out there. I just don't. I mean, even if we're talking about him being solid in the run game, all right, that's fine. But I don't feel good with 40 on the
field. No, I don't either. But I'm okay with him if rundown only and in between the tackles. And Cordell, really, how much outside running do you see Gus Buss or Dobbins doing?
Not much.
Yeah.
They may kick the tires a little bit on Dobbins to see if he can bounce something out. But, yeah, Gus is going to be
In that case, the way that Adarius Washington's been coming up and Kyle Hamilton and stuff.
You know J.K. is going to be amped up for this one, too, for sure.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm intrigued to see if this defense can kind of
stack one.
Yes. See, I mean, because, look, I don't want to discredit the performance that they had on Sunday. They look good in a big game, too. Against, as of right now, the best team in their division. I don't think the world of the Pittsburgh offense.
No.
I'm going to be honest. And I think slightly higher of the Chargers offense. Not dramatically higher, but higher. They've got a better
quarterback.
So I do respect that. But the Chargers' true ceiling offensively isn't that high. It's not to the heights of the Bengals or anything, even though they went toe for toe with the Bengals on Sunday night. I just think it'll be good in general to see the defense stack performances. Obviously, no Roquan would make that tough, though. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll hear from Justin Tucker, Nelson Aguilar, Nate Wiggins, maybe a Patrick Ricard cut as well. That's next here on The Fan.